Now, if you were paying attention, Andrew and Simon Peter are back in the story again. And last week, didn't we hear something a little bit different about that call in the Gospel of John? Wasn't Andrew one of those disciples of John the Baptist who got his brother Peter and led him to Jesus? Do you remember that? Hopefully you remember that. Well, this week, Matthew is helping us with the call story. Remember, each gospel tells us the story the way they remember it, the way it hit their hearts. It's sort of like when I am up here and preaching, and after when you leave, each of you tells me different things I've said, and it's not how I remember saying it. So it's how we receive the message of salvation is as individual to each of us as God has created us. So these disciples, as they experienced their call upon their life, and then as they began to share it with people who they hung out with, they begin to remember it differently. So as Matthew is sharing the story, Matthew is always connected to Old Testament scripture. Matthew is always talking to Hebrew people who knew the Old Testament as well as he did. And that's why as we study the Gospel of Matthew, you will always find these references to Isaiah. Because he sees in the Old Testament, he sees those places where God was speaking about something that had not come to be, had not come to pass. And he lifts that up and he brings it into the it was their present day, brings it into their present day so that they can see, so that others can see how God has moved through time to come to this time when Jesus called people out into a new way of being, called and brought forth the kingdom of God. So Matthew tells a different tale around Peter and Andrew. He talks of them. They're fishing. They're actually fishing. And I love this scene because they're actually, you know, casting those nets. So they must be shore casting. So they're casting their nets out into the sea. Why did Jesus pick them? Do you ever wonder that? Why did Jesus just pick these ordinary fishermen? But he did. So they stop. They stop, and I wonder sometimes if they just went like this and just let the net just fall into the sea and walk away. Because it says in scriptures, immediately they followed. They left their nets and followed him. Because he says, I will make you fish for people. But the one that always strikes me is James and John and their father Zebedee, because they're in the boat. So we know they're a little bit further offshore, and they might have turned and gone, I wonder why Simon and Peter are leaving their nets. What's going on? So Jesus calls out to them and says, come and follow me. So they're mending nets, so that must mean that they had a good catch because the fish made holes. They're mending those nets, and Jesus says, come and follow me, and they drop what they're doing. Get out of the boat. Have you ever wondered about Zebedee? He's still in the boat. He's still got nets to mend. He's still got fish to bring to market. And there go his sons. I bring that up because it's immediate. They are called out of their lives immediately. Life is going on. You know, those nets are doing something in the ocean, in the lake. Zebedee is doing something with what's left behind. But they leave it all behind because Jesus said, come and follow me. And I will make you fish for people. Come and follow me because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Come and follow me and be part of this movement of the transformation of this broken world into the kingdom of heaven. And they turn. They immediately turn from that which they knew. They are called out of their previous lives and step into a new life. Now, in awakenings, they asked me these questions that I didn't know all the answers to. Most of them I didn't. Was, well, were they married? Did they have kids? What lives did they leave behind when they turned to follow Jesus? But they left them. They left them because what was so dear and so precious to them was that the kingdom of heaven was near, and they were called out of their previous way of being in the world, of recognizing the powers of the world as powers that were over them. They were called out to do the work of kingdom building, of making disciples, of calling people to Jesus, of fishing for people, of knowing that in the midst of the broken world, there was hope, there was a promise, there was love. Consider where we are. We're in ancient Israel. Rome is the power holding these people under its sway. They were an oppressed people. And these four men in this particular moment understood who was calling them. And that everything that they had was of less value than what he was offering. What he was offering them was the transformation of their lives and the transformation of the world, because the kingdom of heaven was near. Because the kingdom of heaven came when the babe was born in Bethlehem. The kingdom of heaven is near and here now. It is not fulfilled. It is still in that process of becoming. It is still in that process of transforming until the time that Christ comes again and the transformation is complete. So this morning, what's called upon us are to be called out people. So you're thinking, she's asking us to leave everything we know and just do this one thing. Yes and no. Yes and no. I have spent this past month with the district committee on ordained ministry as we have listened to people's calls, listened to people's conversion stories, understanding that some are called and set apart to ministry that is 100% of who they are, what they were called to, who they're going to be. I'm even dealing with a son who's still struggling with that concept of what he has been called into by this man called Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit is transforming his life. I understand that some of us are called in that manner, but we are all called out of not being connected to the world, but connected first to God. So that the work that we do, whether we're in a factory, whether we're in a hospital, whether we're in an office, whether we are selling insurance, whether we are one of those horrid tax collectors that they talk about all the time, whether we're a cook, a chef, a waitress, a school teacher, a therapist, a doctor, whatever we are called out people to first be focused on Christ and how the work that God has given us in that moment can be transformative work for the people we're with. That our focus is always on God and Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are always connected to how the work we are doing in the world is part of that transformation process. So, brothers and sisters, that means that we have got to be active citizens of both God's world and this world. Because if we're not paying attention to what the powers and principalities of this world are doing, then we don't know whether we should support them or not. If we are so focused on God that we don't see what the world is doing, the world can do some pretty horrid things. But if we're so focused on the world and we're not focused on God, then our loyalties become only to the things of the world. So we are not citizens of the world. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. who happen to reside here on earth at this time. So our task as a called out people is to call into accountability those who are in places of power and authority, to look out for the least, the last, the lost, to make sure that those who are without food are fed, those who are without clothing are dressed, those who are without homes have a place to lay their head, and that those who are in school have the education they need to be citizens of the kingdom while they reside here on earth. I want to share just one particular vision I saw of someone who has been called out. It happened when I went to Greenville a couple weeks ago with Community Partners of Hope. And when I was standing there in 3rd Street Community Center, which had been an old school, a beautiful building, the architecture of the 1950s with all of its wonder had been restored. It's in East Greenville. If anyone knows Greenville, that's kind of the bad side of town. And they've developed this community center with this school for children, for boys. Right now they're K through 2. So their executive director is thinking about steps and moving this vision he has for the transformation of East Greenville in a way that they can financially and fiscally move it. It's a Christian nonprofit for this community. And in that community center, they have music rooms. You should have seen, Gwen, you would have loved that music room. The instruments were all over the place, from brass to pianos to drums, you name it. They had a classroom that had a full mirror, so you know they had dance classes. They had all this opportunity for people in a community that wouldn't normally have it. But then he said this interesting thing. He said the children can have these classes for free, except they have to earn credits to do it. So when they come into the center, they have tasks to do, and when they get enough credit, if they want to take drum lessons and they can show their credits, they have drum lessons. So they're learning that sense of what it means to be a person who earns. Can you imagine having drum lessons knowing that you paid for them yourself? And that you see the work that you did in the center and how beautiful it looks? So he's re-envisioning a community of what it needs to be. They have, this word always runs away from me. Farmers markets on the property, they had 19 acres. So farmers come. They're growing a garden, so farmers come. They're making 3rd Street Cafe, because they have an adult center as well. 3rd Street Cafe is going to be a restaurant for the hard-to-employ individuals who need to learn how to work. And they're going to teach them the crafts of cooking, the crafts of serving, the crafts of being responsible with funding, how to host, so that they can leave that community and serve in larger paying jobs. The vision that this gentleman had as their executive director was a vision you knew came from God for the transformation of that community. He was a called out man to do that work. And I don't know if you can't tell, I got excited, because I believe here in this community, we need some called out people, because we're a community where our young people aren't sitting in our pews. Our young people are going off to college and not coming back. Where people are afraid to go into Henderson at night because they don't know which place is safe and which place is not. We need to be a called out people, because God is a God of hope and promise and the ability to transform the world. And it always starts right where we are, right who we are. We are a called out people. It is time for us to turn towards God and turn into whatever vision God has for us. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. There is always some way we can be used by God for the transformation of the world. Think about Peter and Andrew, who dropped their nets and turned to follow Jesus. Think about John and James, who left their dad holding on to the nets as they turned to follow Jesus. Think about where the world is today because they chose to turn and follow Jesus. God's church is not finished yet. God's church may be in the midst of a transformation all its own, but it's a transformation that transforms the world. So, brothers and sisters, this week, may we too be a called out people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.